Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Michael Pierce met with the media at training camp in Owings Mills.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Especially for me, like I said, missing those last 2 years. It was fun to get the pads on, try some new stuff that I've been working on with Chuck, working on with Weave. Like I said, for linemen, especially nose guards, D-tackles, the shells, as we call them, or those soft pads, don't really tell much. So that's where you get to see the young guys and who you think will make the team and all that kind of stuff. And then for me, it's about trying stuff and just making sure I have some different things in my repertoire going into the season. So I had a blast today, man.
As you go through the challenges of the last 2 years and you get ready for this year, did you approach anything differently to get ready for this year, to try and, like, what do I need to do to make sure – be out there and be the player I know it can be?
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, you start with rehab. Like I said, I came here, didn't miss a day of OTAs. Just stayed in there with the training staff. They got me back strong, got me back healthy relatively quickly. So just doing the things I need to do every day. Took up hot yoga. I was talking to somebody over there. I go to the mine and do hot yoga each and every Saturday, probably like twice a week. So just being more flexible, more stretching, dialing in with Sarah Nutrition. Just doing all the little things that you can. Like I said, especially as you get older in this league, you start to notice different things in your body. So just investing in myself, making sure I cross off every little thing that I can to make sure I can be here and durable for the next 17, 18, however many weeks we got.
Do you have a chip on your shoulder because of that? Just last year, like, you want to make sure everyone understands who you can be?
Oh, certainly. Like I said, man, I undrafted, fought my way from the back. To be looked up as a leader on this defense and on this D-line is just – It's more than I could ever dreamed of or imagined, man. So just to have that opportunity to lead those guys and play next to Brody and Beeks and everybody is a blessing in itself. So, man, it's about proving who I am and just earning that each and every day. And then when the games come, putting it on film every week. Yeah, like I said, for me, when you miss, like, those OTAs and stuff, or you miss, like, tons and tons of rep throughout the season, you can get a little rusty. But, like, for now, like I said, I hit the ground running, OTAs, came out here, started affecting the quarterback right away. That's something I've been working on the past few years. But, like I said, the past 2 years I've been doing really well, just had those end seasons cut short. So, I feel good. I'm moving well. I'm affecting the quarterback, obviously playing the run well. But, like I said, I feel good in my pass rush, and I've just been really, really drilling that stuff with Chuck and all those guys this offseason. So, it's been paying off pretty well, and like I said, the pads will keep telling the story. Yeah, like I said, here, Haloti, Sizz, Brandon, we can go on and on. Those guys set the tone each and every Sunday. And Mike and the staff have done a really good job of just reminding and drilling us through that each and every day. They show a little clips of different things and how we just chop things down, work things out as an organization from 2000 on. So it's a standard that you got to reestablish every year, and I think we did a good job of that today. But like I said, we got a long way to go. It's just about doing that every day and making sure each and every team knows when they play us, we might not have a $100 million guy, whatever the case may be, but when they play us, it's going to hurt. So that's the thing. I don't look at it that way. Like I said, I just make myself hold up to the standard. But I think it's more so about helping those guys along as well as not just succeeding against them. Like I said, we all on the same team at the end of the day. So if I may hit a move that works, if they have a question or something, I definitely talk to them. Like I said, I don't hold too much back on them, but that's just for me, making sure I'm where I need to be, but also bringing them along and helping them with anything that I may beat them on or anybody else may beat them on. So it's kind of like an iron sharpened iron kind of thing is what we use here. But like I said, I think they are doing really well. It depends. Like I said, if I get them on a couple moves, like same time, same type of thing every day, yeah, they'll say, what was that? Or how do you see that? How do you, you know, fit that in different types of things like that? But like I said, for the most part, we kind of just leave each other to yourselves. Like I said, Coach D does a great job of coaching them up. But, nah, man, I don't hold too much back on them. As we get closer to the season, we'll start talking more. But right now, like I said, they're pretty amped up. And, you know, they got to stop me like I got to beat them. So, I think right now we kind of just keep it even.
Speaking of talking, I mean, it seems like you guys have some high-energy guys on that defensive front.
Yeah. Yeah, man, like I said, we had those guys like Terrell Suggs and Bart Scott and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. You need those energetic Kyron guys, and you failed to mention Roe. Roe will talk to you, especially if he gets a good hit on him. And, you know, Marlon's energetic. So I'm kind of the even kind of guy out of everybody. But like I said, it's awesome to have those guys because even when, like, I may not be having a good stretch of plays, those kind of guys give you a lot of energy and keep things moving. And like I said, I definitely enjoy playing next to all three of those guys.
This time last year, you were feeling really good. You had a really
certainly.
Good start. And you're generally a very upbeat person. But
certainly.
Were there days where that was hard?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, man. Like I said, for me, not only being out that season before, just seeing how well we were playing, like I said, and just to see, like, you know, watch those plays 2 years in a row, be like, dang, I could have made that player. You know, I could have helped Trav out on this. Just missing the locker room in general is tough. So, like I said, you definitely have a swing of emotions, especially like when you go through surgery and, you know, like I said, you don't get to travel. You kind of just in rehab, sitting in there hours and hours a day. But at the end of the day, like I said, I didn't want to give up on my career, obviously. And like I said, I just take that in stride. And like I said, we've seen a lot of people do a lot of amazing things here, miss some time and then come back. Ronnie Stanley comes to mind. He's back playing at an all-pro level. So you don't have time to really get down on yourself if you want to keep playing. So you take it on the chin and mount up for next year.
Brandon Williams,
mm-hmm.
You kind of took over at one that first year. You've been playing a lot of three. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about Travis Jones. Do you see a similarity there in a 1-3 opportunity?
I would say yes and no. So there was not a Justin Medabike to take those kind of reps when we were there. So I think we had traded Timmy Jernigan, and that was kind of more of a need thing. No, Travis is an amazing player. If you watch any of his reps, like I said, I don't want to date myself or anything, but he probably a little stronger than I am. So, like I said, big guy, physical. Kind of reminds me of Brandon, but he has, like, some really, really exquisite move skills. So, I don't know how much, maybe, like, in run situations, but, like I said, we got Beeks there, and you're not really going to take a lot of reps away from him. So, like I said, we have a lot of guys who can do a lot of different things. Not only him, but Brody as well. So, that'll be hard for teams to game plan, just different fastballs and stuff like that. But, yeah, I definitely look forward to playing at least a couple runs with Travis for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you could tell he's very, very technically sound, but he can anchor a lot better. I don't know if he gained a little weight or not, or just getting stronger as he's growing. But no, he's definitely gotten a lot better. Like I said, I don't watch Big Ten football a lot. I'm from Alabama, so I'm an SEC fan. But no, he's definitely got a lot better. Like I said, technique wise, he was always sharp. But just like those grown man things, dealing with those grown man moves, different hump moves, all that kind of stuff where you just need that muscle, that girth, and that anchor. He's definitely anchoring a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been awesome, man. I actually went to him 2018, and he gave me some things. I just failed to put him in at that time. But, no, having him here and just bringing a different perspective, like I said, Coach Wee's been awesome. But, like I said, those guys obviously are specialists for a reason. And he's done a great job, not only with Jabo and Dafe and everybody, but also with the D-tackle. So my one-on-ones, I lost two of them. I don't normally lose a lot of them, but it's just trying new things and just figuring out your body and what works for you. Like I said, I've been getting around the passer a lot, just changing my stance and different things. So he's definitely put a lot of things in my brain as well as everybody else, and it's just about finding those two or three things that are change up, obviously, from a bull rush, from a nose guard position. So, he's been a godsend for real, and I think that'll pay off for sure.